Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, Fox 4's own Harold Kuntz will join us for the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty as we wrap up a Friday. It's going fast.
Yeah, it is flying by.
No doubt about it.
Remind me of Drew Nixon's take again.
He says college football Saturday is way more entertaining than Sunday NFL.
Well, I agree on one level. Usually for a college football Saturday, I've had a couple of pops, so it's real entertaining.
Yeah, you get to, yeah, that's right. Great. Let loose.
NFL Sundays is very stressful for yours truly. You know, I've got to make sure I watch every play because I can have an impact on the game.
And you got to make sure you get the all 22.
That's exactly. No, I don't do that. But there are a lot of bad NFL games that just aren't interesting. Like, it's Carolina-Jacksonville. You're not going to watch that. But some college game you may have on and it may turn into something fun, right? Like, a lot of those Spiro Dedes games that you're not watching in the NFL, the Cincinnati versus Clevelands and things like that. Now, obviously, there's a lot of dogs in college. I think college does a pretty good job, though, from their television package of making sure, like, you never really see those dogs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never really see the Cincinnati versus Cleveland game in the big slate of college games. They do a really good job of spoon-feeding us, if you will, as the fan, the games that we need to see at noon, at 2:30, and then at 6 o'clock. I think college does a really, really good job of that. The NFL televises, obviously, every game in two windows, and sometimes you're subjected to the Jets-Dolphins. That's not interesting.
Somebody says, Drew is proof that cocaine is a powerful drug. I'm really starting to worry about that kid and his takes.
But for me, like, it's no, there's no stress on Saturday at all. Saturday's more fun. Sunday, I'm stressed. I'm already starting to get stressed for Sunday. I'm not going to lie.
Why? You've got 1-35 nothing.
I know, but it's still like you got to get out there and you got to see it. You got to get it done. Like, I'm nervous before every game, you know, because I need to take my own advice, and I'm sure maybe you guys feel this way as well. Winning has now become a relief more than it has become a joy. And it should not be that way. And I just think winning on Sunday is going to be awesome, but the majority of me is going to be relieved, not excited.
Yeah,
and I want to be excited again and not relieved. But I feel like there's so – like, how much pressure is on this team? If I'm feeling the pressure right now, how much pressure are those guys feeling right now with all the weight of the world on their shoulder and everybody just waiting for them to get beat on Sunday?
How about the Mitch Holtis stat that Red Tribe Cinema retweeted out? It says, Mitch Holtis said on the Fan this morning, Sunday's game is the first time in NFL history two quarterbacks who have beaten each other in the Super Bowl face off in the regular season.
Isn't that crazy to think about that? We had 59 of these Super Bowls. Not a lot of repeats and stuff like that. But that's a crazy stat. But when you think about it, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's why I said earlier in the week to you guys, I think this is the quarterback rivalry right now. Each quarterback has had wins. Each quarterback has had losses. Each quarterback has beaten each other on the biggest stage that you could see and have wins on the biggest stage. Like, I don't know, man. I have a hatred towards Philadelphia. I have a hatred towards Cincinnati. But my hatred towards Philadelphia right now is a little bit more than my hatred towards Cincinnati, because my hatred towards Cincinnati right now is like they're that mosquito that got in and got you, and it's a little annoying. Philadelphia's a real hatred right now. Their fans were jerks and douchebags when the Super Bowl ended, and they beat us in the Super Bowl. I just want to kick their effing ass, man. Like, that's to the level that I am right now, and I'm almost glad it's 10 o'clock because I don't know that I can control my cursing anymore because I'm ready to go out there to Arrowhead right now and get this thing going. I want to get a win over these guys like it's nobody's business.
Feel free to curse. Tom Brady dropped the S-bomb three times yesterday on Colin Cowherd's
show. He can
do
that, though. It's cable TV. We're the only people who can't curse.
Pat Mahomes.
Oh, no.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was good. Domchino Spence on the YouTube feed says, I got cousins in North Philly. Let's just say the family reunion got real.
Screw you, Uncle Marty.
Yeah.
You're lucky that we were pooping our pants or whatever it was. It was the excuse for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But let's get into our Friday parlay as we do this every week now in this NFL season. You can tag along or you can fade us or you can follow us. And we start off with Bob, who, by the way, nothing new here. What's your first leg of the parlay?
Yeah, Travis Kelce anytime touchdown at plus 145.
Yeah.
I cashed last week.
You did. Yep. That you did. You had the number one money in the board. I'm 0-2 so far.
Oh, you lost yesterday already? Yeah. You picked the Thursday night guy.
I picked Bill, the running back for the Washington Commanders, to score a touchdown. They did not use him for
you
a touchdown.
You just did that because of his name. If we didn't say his name was Bill, you wouldn't have picked him. I feel like we led you down a bad path.
Well, he scored in week one. His odds were plus 250.
Plus 250. That's pretty good.
I had to make a little stab. I missed out. Now he will be the featured back because we saw the unfortunate news. Austin Eckler and the Achilles. He's done for the year.
Boy, that injury, too. I keep watching it this morning. It just collapsed. I mean,
non-contacts are always the worst.
Yep.
Always the worst. Mac, what's your leg in the parlay?
Well, there's no odds out for a lot of the receiving stuff because of this Xavier-worthy news, right? Or their pending news, rather. So the books are kind of struggling getting the receiving odds for the Chiefs out. But I'm still going to go. So we don't have odds for this, but I'm going to go Kelce over 4.5 catches, at least 5 catches for Travis Kelce.
And don't forget, Mac will post these odds on Sunday morning, I believe, because he'll be doing the fantasy show at 9 a.m., and then he's off to Philadelphia sidelines to hopefully not get ran over by A.J. Brown.
Hopefully I get to meet Howie Roseman. I mean,
what are you going to like just die when you meet him? Like,
I'm turn into that lawyer from My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the
odds
are.
Or you're going to be Chris Farley. Remember that time you drafted Jalen Hurts? That was awesome. I love you so much. I wish you were my GM.
I don't.
You going to say that to him?
No, I don't wish that. But alt rushing yards, I almost went back to the well. I'm not going to. I'm going to go with the Kelce catches, but Pacheco to have 40 or more rushing yards plus 130.
That's a good bet.
Just saying.
I wish they had Breshad Smith's rushing odds.
Yeah.
It's got to be like 9.5. He gets one jet sweep and goes 20. You're like, all right.
Hopefully he doesn't get in a limit, like a negative carry.
Because
that was the Carson Wentz thing last year.
Yes.
Well, that was me last year because early on in the season, Xavier Worthy's rushing totals were like 4.5. And I was like, one jet sweep. And then the next week it was like 6.5. I was like, one more jet sweep. And then it turned into like 11.5. And he took one for like, I think it was 12 yards. And then they ran it again later in the play and he lost two. Gone.
It's like, yeah.
Well, because
last year, like underdog had a bonus, like Carson Wentz, one total yard. I took the over. Yes. It was like third quarter. I'm still going, this guy doesn't have a yard yet.
Why am I sweating this? It's so good.
What are you going with?
I'm going to go with, which I think is okay, I'm going to go with Mahomes with 2 touchdown passes. That's plus 100. It's a safe bet to me.
Love it.
Look, I think Mahomes played well. Actually, I think he played great in that game against the Los Angeles Chargers in that week one. And I think this is a game where I think we're going to see offense. I don't think we're going to see defensive battles. I think the Chiefs are going to have to come from behind in this game. And the only way you survive in this game from behind is with Patrick Mahomes throwing the football. And you're going to have to throw the football. Defensive line for Philadelphia, just a dominant force. I'd love to see them run more, but I still think that, you know, with Patrick Mahomes at hand, I think 2 touchdowns at plus 100 is a safe bet for me. At least that's my point.
Love it.
So we'll see. But we have Bob anytime touchdown for Travis Kelce. We have Mac 5 or more receptions for Travis Kelce. And you have me with Patrick Mahomes throwing 2 touchdowns. So these could all affect each other.
That's what I say. Could
you imagine if Mahomes had 1 touchdown passing, there's 35 seconds left in the game, which is on my script. There's 35 seconds left in the game. Chiefs are down by 4. Kelce has 4 catches.
Ooh, yes.
No touchdowns. Mahomes throws his 2nd touchdown in the game. Corner of the end zone. Travis Kelce, Chiefs win. We all celebrate. Hey, I know, man, that I'm hard.
What did he make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
We'll just give you the whole clip. Everybody loves to have fun on Friday. Here's Binkley when he didn't have a voice.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Come on, Ray! Welcome to Bink at Night.
Hey, welcome back to
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We call it Monday Evening Quarterback with Kent Swanson. Kent, sorry about my voice, brother.
Hey, you're all right.
Free home.
Just fine, my friend.
Hey, man, what did you make of Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.